This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky.
Welcome to Free Thought Radio. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. This is the weekend of November 6 and 7, 2010.
Free Thought Radio is broadcasting in Madison, Wisconsin, airing also in Atlanta, Anchorage, Grand Rapids, and Monterey, and podcasting everywhere.
And you're going to introduce, talk about who our guest is?
Well, after you say who produces the show, Dan.
This show, Free Thought Radio, is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We are the country's largest organization of atheists and agnostics working to keep religion and government in their own separate rings, in their own separate camps, to keep them separate, and also to educate the public about the views of those of us who don't believe. We are non-theists, non-believers, atheists, agnostics, secular humanists, doubters, skeptics. And we are a part of the fabric, too.
We do have a very fun, unexpected, talented guest, a woman out of our past for the second half of Free Thought Radio. She's a young woman who, in the year 1998, was one of the student winners of FFRF's annual essay competition. And we now have three competitions at that time. She won, Melody Moore won one of the college awards as a voice major. She's gone on to become a sought-after opera singer. She happens to be here in town in Madison just for this weekend, Marriage of Figaro performances, playing the lead singer. And so she's going to tell you more about her background and why she came to our office to tell us how much this student scholarship meant to us. So that's the second half of Free Thought Radio.
Next week on Free Thought Radio, we'll feature a little retrospective on FFRF's 33rd Annual National Convention. There were 700, I think more than 700 of us heathens and infidels on Halloween weekend in Madison, Wisconsin. And it really was a fun, not scary, but a fun convention. Steve Benson and I, the editorial cartoonist, got to put on our show, Tunes and Tunes, for Saturday night. We also had some former Muslim speakers, Ayan Hirsi Ali and Cenk Uygur, a 94-year-old, well-known geneticist.
It went from a 2-year-old in the audience to a 94-year-old, and we had a 93-year-old who just had her birthday.
And that was James F. Crow, who was 94, who after whom the UW Evolution Center is named.
And Brian, you were there for a little bit. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was great, and I agree. I think there was probably more than 700 people there. When I was trying to find a seat for Julia Sweeney, it was tough to find an open one, but I was able to, and I thought she was just amazing.
And you got your picture taken with her, your photograph, and it's going to run in Free Thought today, and lots of convention coverage will be running.
And a speech from a high schooler who stopped prayers at his commencements, and so it was quite an exciting time. Everybody was happy, smiling, happy to be in a room where they could say anything they wanted. And in a minute, we're going to play some remarks that were made at the convention last week, including some surprise remarks, but we're going to start with a video that the Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton recorded as a welcome to the convention.
And it's the first time a state executive of this rank has prepared a welcome speech for an FFRF convention, and it did get Barbara Lawton in some hot water. And so,
you'll see why many of us in Wisconsin are proud of our currently seated Lieutenant Governor.
Good evening, and welcome to Wisconsin. We're delighted that you decided to hold your national conference here in Madison, Wisconsin. I have to say that my decision to welcome you caused a bit of a stir, and we've received many phone calls and emails, and this is the response that I gave to every one of them. First, let me provide context. Whenever I am asked to provide an official welcome for national conferences held in our state, whether it's the Society of Plastic Industries or the American Legion or the Freedom from Religion Foundation, I do my best to accommodate the group if possible. And then I told them, both of my grandfathers were ministers, Protestant ministers, one from a family that were early settlers in this country, and the other a 20th century immigrant from Norway. And my father served as an Air Force pilot in World War II, flying 34 missions over Nazi Germany, only 19 years old as he began his service. The freedom of expression of my grandfather's faith and the constitutional protection that ensured that government would not encroach on their ministry allowed them to answer their calling to the fullest. And my father repeatedly risked his life to preserve the integrity of this democracy, where a clear line between church and state is maintained. All of them were patriots in the most profound ways. And I work as Lieutenant Governor to honor their legacy. Satisfied some of them, not all of them, but let me begin by saying that I'm proud to be with you, even if it's only virtually in some sense. But I decided that I would be of greater use in Colorado this weekend as a counterweight to U.S. Senate candidate Ken Buck, who in his own words said he strongly disagrees with the concept of the separation of church and state. And coincidentally, I will be engaged in the celebration of pagan Halloween traditions with my grandchildren. In these days before the election, we are awash in novel interpretations of the U.S. Constitution, and I ask, where is Thomas Jefferson when we need him? He was an articulate believer that no good comes to the Commonwealth if government can judge prohibited conduct, tax policy, or social programs based on religion. Jefferson would also like to remind us of Article 6 of the Constitution that prohibits a religious test for office. And interestingly, not one of the six first presidents of the United States was an Orthodox Christian. Instead, today, as in 1800, when Jefferson was condemned for being, quote, an atheist in religion and a fanatic in politics, today religion is used too often as a weapon to bludgeon good people seeking the opportunity to serve their country in elected office. I maintain that my faith, or not, as an elected official, is not a topic for debate. Politics is about the dignity of daily life, about government's necessary role in ensuring the essential civil and human rights that define a free people. And government exists to provide a clear framework for ethical behavior. I am frustrated by the unearned self-righteousness of certain elements of the press, both mainstream and new media, and other political figures who cynically, with the deepest of cynicism, use other people's faith as a political football to secure their own narrow special interests. We need to ask different questions about those who would lead our state and nation. We must ask, are they committed to contributing to a healthy democracy and to observing the principles that will sustain it? We need them to promise intellectual honesty and debate of the issues of the day, and we should expect a fundamental understanding of the constitutional framework within which we all operate. And despite U.S. Senate candidate Christine O'Donnell's confusion, the Constitution is clear on the separation of church and state. And I have always been profoundly grateful to this organization for so thoughtfully and thoroughly policing that border that separates church and state. A press person asked me if I would be here if I were running for office this year, and I answered that I would like to think so. And were it not now an absolute physical necessity for me to be with those grandchildren, I would be here personally to greet you and to welcome you to Wisconsin. I hope you have a very productive conference. I hope you find time to enjoy this beautiful part of the state of Wisconsin. And I thank you all for your good work.
That is Wisconsin's Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton welcoming FFRF's annual convention in Madison, Wisconsin. And we also had a surprise appearance by U.S. Congressman Pete Stark by video, accepting an Emperor Has No Clothes Award, which is the statuette that FFRF reserves and offers to public figures who make known their dissent from religion.
So we should go right to that video, I think.
Hello, I'm Congressman Pete Stark, and I'm sorry I can't be with you in person, but I want to thank you for the Emperor Has No Clothes Award. I can't tell you how excited I am to be in the same league as George Carlin. More importantly, I want to thank all of you, along with the leaders of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, for the marvelous work you do. Due to your efforts, many people have the freedom to exercise their beliefs or non-beliefs, as the case may be. In 2007, the Secular Coalition for America sent members of Congress a survey about their religious belief, and I answered that I didn't believe in a supreme being. Within a week, I had 5,000 responses from around the world, almost all of them favorable, and those that weren't favorable were very kind. I have never been had such kindness directed toward me by people who disagreed with me. I'm also pleased with the support of my colleagues in Congress. Imagine when Mike Huckabee was asked on national television about my proclamation, and he said he was proud to live in a country where people could say what they believe, as I did. Thankfully, we're moving in a direction where some feel it's not an act of courage simply to state that you don't believe in God. The work of the Freedom From Religion Foundation is helping to make this possible, and your legal battles have helped keep us from taxpayer subsidies for religious schools, for the distribution of Bibles in schools, and your continued legal work in that area is essential. Keep up the good work. We must continue to speak out, be honest about our beliefs, continue to exercise that freedom of conscience. And I guarantee that every day, each of your representatives in Congress hear from the teabaggers who take their cues from Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh. Make sure that your words are heard as well. It's because of the wonderful work of organizations like the Freedom From Religion Foundation that we're able to continue our progress. Thank you. Thank you for the delightful award, and all of you be well.
And that is United States Congressman Pete Stark, representing a district in California, accepting the Freedom From Religion Foundation's Emperor Has No Clothes Award. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio. Coming up, we'll run a clip, inadvertently hilarious, of reaction to FFRF's billboard campaign in Flint, Michigan, from a local TV station there.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at FFRF.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio. As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker. I'm here with Annie Laurie Gaylor. And before the break, we heard remarks made at our 33rd annual convention by Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton, as well as United States Congressman Pete Stark. And we'll talk some more next week about that very lively convention that we had last week here in Madison, Wisconsin. And we'll play the famous annual Moment of Bedlam, which we always do at our non-prayer breakfast. And we'll have feature some other highlights from the convention.
But if you can't wait, I can direct you to Wisconsin Eye, which is like Wisconsin C-SPAN. And they were there for 98% of the convention. You can watch it at Wisconsin Eye, E-Y-E. And their website is wisi.org, at the left under programming, you click on video archive, and then you click on around the state, and then you click on conferences and conventions. But we'll have a link also up at our website in several places. You can see the link to the website at ffrf.org under our outreach convention, and we'll have teasers up and everything. So, and we'll have audio up, and we'll have transcriptions up pretty soon, and we publish them in Free Thought Today, photographs, etc.
During the convention, we showed a number of the billboards and bus signs that are going all over the country.
Now, so for related news, FFRF did place 10 billboards in October in Flint, Michigan, and we have some coverage from ABC TV there.
Election day is less than a week away, and it is hard to miss the political ads popping up around town.
One campaign in Genesee County is getting attention not because of any candidate affiliation, but because of its anti-religious message. ABC 12's Candace Burns joins us in the studio now with that story. Candace?
Angie, there are a handful of what some would call controversial billboards in Genesee County. The campaign was sponsored by a national church-state watchdog group. They say they want the government to follow the Constitution, but their message is offensive to some. Driving through Genesee County, it's hard to miss them.
Says God and government, a dangerous mix.
I think it's a little misleading.
Billboards with an eye-catching message.
I'm not really sure about the foundation that is funding the billboard.
The signs were put up by the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
I want to get out that separation of church and state is in the Constitution.
The group is made up of about 16,000 atheists and agnostics nationwide.
I've proved to myself that there is no God.
Their goal is to get local and federal government's attention, and voters too.
It's not supposed to be in government. They've been doing it for a long time. Nobody said anything.
While many agree the constitutional principle is important,
keep church church and government government,
some say the billboard's messages are a stretch.
I think we're letting too many, a very small amount of atheists control what people believe in.
What do you mean by that?
Well, it's political correctness gone too far.
Others feel they're simply inappropriate.
They need to be taken down. If we get rid of God, we're in trouble.
It's a constitutional issue. Big time.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation is fighting to get the National Day of Prayer ruled unconstitutional. A federal judge in Wisconsin agreed with their case, but it is being appealed. The signs in Genesee County are scheduled to stay up through October.
So did you catch this woman saying they need to take those signs down? And this is a recurring theme around the country when there's TV coverage of most of our billboards. And it's hilarious almost, because there's always someone there who say they shouldn't allow those signs to be up. And then one guy in Arkansas said they shouldn't even be allowed to have an organization. So, you know, we are not a theocracy. We're not a totalitarian state. That's what you would expect in Iran, you know, that this idea that you don't even have freedom of expression or First Amendment rights if you're a non-believer. That's what we're fighting against.
Did you notice, and I like this, how she said that our billboards were eye-catching? They're very attractive. They're very pleasing. And they're,
who's she? You're talking about the anchor?
The news anchor, yes. She said the eye-catching billboards around town.
Well, they are eye-catching. And there was, we debuted in Flint for the first time, a billboard that has a very eye-catching photograph of JFK, John F. Kennedy, saying that I believe in a country where the separation of church and state is absolute. And that was very eye-catching. And we'll be taking that around the country as we get support from members and listeners for FFRF's billboard campaign, which is highly educational.
Did you notice how that one guy was commenting about, how can a very small group of atheists control what everyone else is thinking? You know, political correctness gone too far. As if a couple of free speech billboards are actually telling people what they...
10 billboards in Flint, Michigan, and the world is ending.
Yeah, and I mean, what kind of insecurity is that? You know, their churches and their steeples and their crosses and their billboards and their messages and their...
And their 24/7 religion on the radio.
Radio and television and TV.
Compared to our, you know, 42 minutes on the airwaves.
And this guy, and you know, once in his entire life, he sees one billboard that he doesn't like, and he thinks we are trying to control everybody's thoughts.
And there was an interesting coverage. We probably ran it out of Tulsa, where one of the women had written into the station and said she was so offended because she said, I thought we were in the Bible Belt. How can this happen in the Bible Belt? Well, that's very cool that we are infiltrating the Bible Belt. And as far as I'm concerned, all of America, in some respects, is a Bible Belt. We have 45% of the population believing that the Bible is either literally true word for word, or if not, is the inspired word of God. And then another high percentage also thinking that it's, you know, this is our source of morality.
So, in the
so
Bible
that
Belt,
really does make the whole country the Bible Belt, but there's a lot of us who are trying to fight that and to promote the Enlightenment, the ideas of Voltaire and so on. They need to be back in charge in this country. So.
What did your mom used to say about these people's reactions to like the insecurities of people who couldn't stand to hear another point of view?
Well, the Lord of the Bible has a very uneasy vanity, and so do his followers. So we are coming out of this break. We're going to be talking with an opera singer who is a non-believer, Melody Moore, and it's very interesting how she had won a student essay competition from FFRF when she was studying music, and she came by our office this week to tell us she wanted to come in and say hello and thank you because that award meant so much to her and to her life. And so we're going to catch up with her, talk about how she got out of Pentecostalism and is now an in-demand soprano opera singer. You can hear her on In the Marriage of Figaro at the Overture Center this weekend.
Nothing fails like prayer.
Hi, my name is Dan Hamilton from Westmont, Illinois, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
And we are listening to some of The Marriage of Figaro by Mozart, listening to the gorgeous operatic soprano Melody Moore, who was our guest on today's show. And if you are listening to this show as it is being broadcast on Saturday morning in Madison, Wisconsin, there is still time for you to get tickets to tomorrow, Sunday afternoon's matinee performance of The Marriage of Figaro
at the Overture Center.
At the Overture Center at 2:30.
So we only have a few minutes left, and this has really been a fun interview, Melody. You've been talking about when you came into the office this week, you said you came out of Pentecostalism, and then you shook your head, the damage, yeah, to quote you. And very religious background, you said your mother slapped you for asking questions about religion. How... Now that you came out as an atheist, as a college student, how are you treated?
I would say not well by my family. They sort of shake their heads at me all the time, and they say that they're praying for me all the time. But I find it kind of interesting that, you know, for the 18-plus years that they've been praying, that not much but progress has happened in my life toward the end of leaving that religion.
Nothing fails like prayer.
Yeah, so maybe prayer works. I don't know, in a strange way. But I don't talk. My mother treats me sort of like there are parts of me that are not there. I always say she treats me like an amputee.
Oh, really?
Amputee?
Wow. Yeah, she loves parts of me, but parts of me are gone.
Oh.
And it's not just religion. You've had to come out of two closets in your life, do you think?
That's right. The first was sexual, of course. The first was when I decided that I was lesbian, and that was a hard decision to make because in our church, more so than them talking about atheism or people that didn't believe, we had monthly sermons about homosexuality. So as far as the taboos, I was breaking the biggest one by coming out of the closet the first time. I was 19 years old and told my mom that, and she disowned me for quite some time, stopped paying for any portion of my college, which she was paying half of. I had part scholarship. And I ended up having to get two or three jobs to make ends meet.
And you entered essay contests.
I entered the essay contest, and I actually, as
went
I
a
said
little
before,
bit from us.
It freed me. It freed me. It was really a really nice, warm embrace from a community that I needed.
Well, that's good, because that's the whole purpose behind it. Because, as you said on the first segment, who rewards you for critical thinking about religion?
Right.
And there's so many scholarships out there rewarding blind obedience and faith. So,
absolutely.
Now, do you think that what? I mean, I know that you are an atheist, but what made you an atheist?
I believe that I started to understand at some point that I didn't need God. I didn't need rewards for behaving in ways that are just common decency toward other people and humanitarian effort. And I didn't need punishment to scare me into acting in such ways.
In your essay you wrote, if you remember this, atheism is the natural state we are all born into before the theists attempt to brainwash us.
Oh, poor little sweet 98 Melody Moore. It's the truth, isn't it? I don't remember, because I sent that off and it was a grand effort for me. And I'd love to have that back.
Yeah, well, we will get you a copy. And it may be online. I have to look it up.
No, that's not online. We can put it online, though.
Yeah.
Because back in the late 90s, we didn't have that much.
Well, sure. No, I remember, right.
Well,
I
mean, it was an amazing story and a nice circle, and we're just thrilled to hear from any of our student winners over the years, but we don't hear from that many of them. So
one who became famous.
Yeah.
And you have a webpage, right,
that
promotes your Have Voice, Will Talent.
Yeah, Have Voice, Will Travel.
Travel Talent.
Yeah. It's melodymoresoprano.com. Yeah.
So if you're in the Madison area, go see the matinee on Sunday at the Overture Center. And I'm going to go this weekend, and Dan's out of town. But we'll be out of town on Sunday. But we really, really are grateful for you coming by and introducing yourself. And what an excellent interviewee you are.
Well, thank you very much.
Very
eloquent. Honesty travels a long way, you know what I mean?
So.
Well, and the bonus there is that Mozart, at the end of his life, became quite the freethinker. So,
absolutely. And it is apparent in this opera, and much more so in the Magic Flute as well. But you can see his struggle against class and, just shoulds and woulds and coulds. He's battling all of that.
Thank you so much. And Dan, you've got to go out, don't you? We want to thank Brian Turani, our engineer and producer, Buzz Kemper, our voice deity. Go to FFRF.org radio for the archives. Ask for more information at FFRF.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. Help support our broadcast. Join us. Work with us for separation of church and state. Tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday.